Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the 235-member Michigan Marching Band. Band, take the field. Under the direction of Professor Jamie L. Nix, the M. Fanfare.
Another episode of the Betting Window on the Nerdport Network. I am your host, F and Ronnie, and with me, as always, is nobody. Not yet, anyway. It is a solo beginning of the show. We will be joined by the Suncock and the man who apparently will tell you you don't know shit, Christian, very shortly. John, under the weather, get well soon. We will have his picks coming on later in the week for the NFL, but, I mean, normally we start off with Major League Baseball, but today we start off with, the Michigan Wolverines. Hail to the victor, baby, because the Michigan Wolverines are your 2023/2024 national titles as of now. Listen, going to tell you this right now, as of right now, because we do not know what the committee has in store for the Michigan Wolverines. For all we know, could be a one-in-a-lifetime thing, and they could be taking this away from Harbaugh for the quote-unquote stealing of signs, which I'm sorry, it's kind of up in the air. It's a little different than the Astros thing. I don't want to hear people say, oh, well, they stole signs, they deserve to get it taken away. Here's the problem. You know how hard it is to quote-unquote steal signs when it comes to when it's in football? You have dummy signs for everything. So if someone's going to be able to read your signs, change them. It's not that hard, people. Just change them. It's very simple. But only time will tell. But yes, on today's show, we will be talking more about Major League Baseball, going into pitchers and catchers. We will talk about the 2023-2024 rest of the season, as well as our predictions, very early predictions for 2024-2025, that we also will do our playoff picks and to see what the major storylines will be for the NFL. Yeah! But that being said, like I said, I am solo tonight. Hopefully we get some people in the chat room that we can talk to. But let's kick this off with some Major League Baseball. And the news that is going around is actually kind of big news that happened yesterday. Will be, Actually, two things. One, the Rays, former Rays shortstop Juan Franco, or Wander Franco, is going to be facing lesser charges after a judge in the Dominican Republic analyzed evidence that alleged the Tampa Bay Rays shortstop, or former Tampa Bay Rays shortstop, said he had a relationship with a 14-year-old girl, paid the mother thousands of dollars for her consent. What are these lesser? He was accused of commercial and sexual exploitation and money laundering. Charges were carried up to 30, 10, and 20 years in prison, respectively. Franco now stands accused intent of sexual and psychological abuse, according to the judge, according to the Associated Press on Tuesday, yesterday, which he could, if he's found guilty of these charges, he will be facing up to 2 to 5 years in prison. Okay. Well, he's still going forward that he had a quote-unquote relationship, or he was in the, allegedly having a relationship with this 14-year-old and brainwashed her into staying. So it sounds like another version of, what's the name I'm thinking of? Whitewashing, brainwashing. There's another name for it that I can't really, I'm having trouble thinking about right now. Stockholm Syndrome. There we go. But with that, I mean, his baseball career's over. No ifs, ands, or buts. He might be able to play for the, the league out in Dubai, but his major league career is, for the most part, over. I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, it's terrible. Let me rephrase that. How to feel about it? It's terrible what he did. He's busted. He should be out of Major League Baseball. It's not even the fact that he was found guilty. It's the fact that this is now going forward in court. The judge found enough evidence to convict him. Now, whether or not he goes to jail is another thing. You're dealing with someone that's 14 years old, too. Sexual and psychological abuse as a minor, to a minor. And it's not even it's not even in that range where the girl's 17 years old and just turned 18 and then something like that, which we've seen in the past with people. This is a 14-year-old girl. Face list of charges. Probably going to get probation. He should deserve jail time, but he's probably going to get probation. And where he goes from there, who knows? Will a team ever give him a shot? I highly doubt it. Well, let me rephrase that. I would not say highly doubtful, because I've been on this podcast many a time saying Trevor Bauer should still be in the major leagues, even though Trevor Bauer did nothing wrong. Because everything was consensual. That was a ploy. This is something different. Again, 14 years old. We're shaving hairs with this one. The next thing on this list is very interesting. Ex-Dodger Julio Urias found out on Tuesday that the DA will not be pursuing felony charges against him for suspicion of domestic violence. The victim nor the injuries criminal justified a felony filing, but it looks like there's no ruling if we'll launch an internal investigation, likely to wait upon the city attorney official ruling before determining a potential suspension. So Major League Baseball is going to most likely suspend him. If there's any kind of filing, like whatever they find, it's domestic violence. So he's probably going to end up going to have to do some, like, what is it called? Like, domestic violence school training, women's, like, community service, things like that. Now, should he be out of, it's another one. Should he be out of the league? This one, I don't know, because I don't want to judge anything until there's actually an investigation into, through Major League Baseball. Because there will be a suspension. Because this was big enough that there was an arrest, that there was possible felony charges on him. So I am very interested to see where this goes with him, and I'll talk about it with Christian and stuff like that when he gets here. I mean, 27 years old, he'll probably get kicked out of the league for at least a year, like suspended indefinitely, and then have to refile next year. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what we get. What do we got? Dodgers got Hernandez agreeing to a 1-year, $23 million deal. Again, the Dodgers are really going for the right now expense. The Mets got another starter, someone to file out the bullpen, the main rotation. That's interesting. What the? Okay. Sean Maneny agreed to a 2-year. Mania. There you go. 2-year, $28 million deal, according to John Heyman. Introduces an opt-out clause after the 2024. 31-year-old will join the rotation for Senga, Katana, David Peterson, Jose, or not Jose, Joey, and Luis Sevi and Hauser. I like this pickup. It's a guy in the three hole that you're gonna wrap up your main guy. I mean, he's a guy that can get you six innings to get you to that bullpen that you rebuilt. I'm sorry. People on here will say the Mets, and people on Twitter will say the Mets are done. There's nothing for the Mets. The Mets are going to be worse. I don't see it that way. And I'll say this. Are they going to win the division? Hell no. No. That's going to be the Braves. That might be the Phillies. We'll know more when we start getting into spring training. Could this team fight for a wild card spot? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But because you got to look at the roster, the roster, you're still getting a guy that can fight for the MVP, maybe not batting title, but a guy that can fight for the MVP and the home run leader and the RBI leader. You turn around and then you have a guy who was 2 years ago batting champ. Then you add one of the best shortstops that's hitting an average of 30 home runs with 20 stolen bases and over 100 RBIs. You don't need perfect games out of everybody on the pitching end. But if you can get me guys that can get us to the sixth and seventh inning – I'll show you a team that's going to go 90, that's going to have 90 wins. It's going to have 89 wins. No way they're going to win 100-something games. Because you're going to have struggles, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. Edwin Diaz comes back as probably going to be the guy that leads the league in saves. Actually, he's the favorite in Vegas right now with our sponsor for the show, or sponsor, air quotes. We're not sponsored by him, but we use this all the time for Caesar Sportsbook. We're all in Jersey. He's 8-1 to be the saves leader. That's easy possible. Plus, something happens where Emmanuel Chase or Josh Hader, but 8-1, they're going to need him to save games. I personally think the Mets right now they're saying an 88 win season. So that's already over 500. If they actually go over 88 wins, they're in a playoff hunt. And just have to get in there. That's all that matters. You just have to get in. But we will find out what happens. Cubs land... Shota, I'm not going to pronounce his name, Japanese pitcher, lefty pitcher, is going to the Cubs, 4 years, $53 million contract. That pitch, or I like that. Obviously, Dodgers picked for the first Sunday Night Baseball. What a shock. I think baseball this year is going to be a whirlwind. I really do. I think the Yankees and the Mets are in that moment where, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. On the East Coast, Philly's good. The Braves are always good. The Yankees are going to be okay. The Mets are going to be okay. Red Sox are always a stickler. The East on both ends are going to be possible dogfights. You have the returning champs in the Orioles. Baltimore Orioles are going to be there. But I don't know what else to see. Like, Stroman goes to the Yankees. That's perfect for them. That's a guy that's a good middle reliever. It's a guy, not a good middle reliever, middle starter. A guy that can help them get to innings. And apparently that's where he wanted to be, not the Mets. Go figure. Oh, God. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me 1 minute. Oh, okay. Sorry. All right, what else do we have in the news? Yankees and Orioles are going after Dylan C. Or, what's it called? Are going after Cease. So is Cardinals. I think that's, I mean, where he goes, depending on what they're giving up. Let's see. Oh, what else do we have in the news of Major League Baseball? Sevy was worrying about whether he was tipping pitches or not. Sevy just worried about not getting injured this year. Because we're going to need you. Please. that's really it in baseball. So let's move on. Hold on. There's actually something. I know she played today. What did let me see. What did she do today? Or what is she doing right now? I have no idea. Hold on. No, again, women's, so news in the women's college basketball broke, and not horse racing. Thank you, ESPN. Oh, geez. Okay, it's going on right now. 51-37 Iowa over Purdue after they jumped to third. Clark has almost a double-double already. It's halftime. 16 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. She's now turning into almost the all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball. And hello, Christian.
Hello, friends.
What's going on?
Oh, man, it's been a busy night.
I can tell.
Yeah, it's been a very busy night, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because, you know, after the Super Bowl, it's going to be a little dull.
It's a month. It's a month downtime until the draft.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, where's everybody else at? Where's John?
John is sick.
Okay.
Brian will be here in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I did a half an hour solo talking about Major League Baseball.
Oh, okay. Now you know how I feel.
Oh, trust me, I know how it is.
Now you know how I feel. Screw you. No, I'm playing.
No, what I brought up, and I'll get your opinion on this, Juan Franco is now looking at lesser charges in Dominican Republic. He originally was getting charged with commercial and sexual exploitation and money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
It dropped down to now psychological and sexual abuse.
Oh, wow.
So he was looking at somewhere of 50 years in prison to possibly now 5.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, which I don't even think he's going to get 5. I think he's going to get probation and never play a Major League Baseball again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Let me put it this way. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
I know me and you, we've been this dance back and forth with Trevor Bauer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you both agree that Trevor Bauer should be in the league because he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, it came out. He didn't do anything wrong.
No, it came out that it was an exploit.
Right.
If for some reason Franco ever got an offer to play in Major League, how fast would you turn on that team?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Because I personally was – and this is not an answer being like, oh, he should get a chance. If a team offers him another chance – what are you sending to your – by the way, what is Major League Baseball meant for? What are they trying to draw in?
Right.
Kids.
Exactly.
That's, and you're telling us because he was in a relationship with a 14-year-old kid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like the Josh Giddey thing. And you remember, I had to go on a rant about that.
Yeah, but then
– everybody is saying, oh – she, Malika Andrews, reported on the black player, but won't report on the white player. One, why do we continue to make things about race? That's number one. And two, why what people fail to realize? See, this is part of the reason why I try my hardest not to deal with social media, because honestly, When certain things happen, everybody wants to become a quote-unquote expert.
Well, and go ahead.
About things. You get what I'm saying?
Now
I even went on Twitter and said this. I'm like, now everybody's a journalism major. But what people fail to realize is in journalism, you have to get all your facts. Because in this industry, you post and you report and you write to be correct and concise.
Not first. But
not
now,
first.
But
you
now
post to be accurate. You post to be accurate, not first. Because if you post to be first, you know, you're going to develop a very bad reputation in the industry.
You better have a redacted statement ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think when we reported on the Giddy stuff, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, yes, we are going to be one of the first people that report this, but this is the facts now, and we will come back to it when we know more.
Exactly.
And then when it came out and we found out that she was in the club underage, still his fault because, I mean, it's his fault for what he did. A, then the parents didn't come out with it, but B, it's the club's fault because they let a fake ID in.
Right.
So it's kind of shame on both of them.
Exactly.
The other thing is Luis Arias will not be facing any felony charges for domestic violence.
Mm.
The DA found no evidence that has justified a felony filing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't look like they're moving forward with any kind of filing for it, but MLB will do an investigation for a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another issue, say, like, this is another Trevor Bauer incident.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing is wrong and Major League Baseball does suspend him, and there's no filing, there's no guilt, there's no anything,
then Manfred got to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's two. That's two. He says they're going to wait for the district attorney to come out with all the filing, like with all the evidence and stuff like that, even if it's a misdemeanor filing, and then give him a suspension via that, which if you know domestic violence in Major League Baseball, it's about 50 games.
Right.
Unless you're Trevor Bauer, then it's 2 years, which makes no sense. That was an agenda filing. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out that nothing is wrong and they suspend him, even if it's for 20 games, because he's already served 20, should a team sign him? Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing like Bauer. Bauer deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
Now, do you tie up clauses? Oh, hell yeah. You tie up any type of clause, any type of dead end that you can, that if he fucks up, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I see it.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Yankees are in the running for Stroman.
I saw that.
Listen, that's a good four starter.
Yeah. I mean,
you need somebody else besides Cole.
Yeah, you do. You're right.
Much as I don't see him as an ace, he literally would be the ace of that team.
Yeah, an ace that just won the Cy Young. But, you know, I digress.
Okay, yeah, well, again, you can be a good pitcher and not be an ace. All right, Dickey won the Cy Young and he wasn't an ace.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he did. R.A. Dickey did win the Cy Young, and he was no ace. He was a knuckleball pitcher that was like 50 years old. It was like almost 48 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to St. Louis. Then he went to Toronto and sucked.
Yeah, he did.
I love this. So Severino came out the other day saying he's worried about tipping pitches last year during his 2023 season because threw his fastball and changeup. Here's an idea, Sevy. Stay healthy.
Yeah, that's it. Nah, but I wouldn't mind the Yankees signing Marcus Stroman. I mean, they need the pitching because a rotation, I mean, this is just the inevitable because you remember Montas left. He's gone. Cole, maybe Cortez at the two, Rodon, Strowman, and then, yeah, I mean, there's still some question marks.
I mean, unless you're bringing up, unless you have somebody down in the minor leagues that you can bring up.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea. Like, I honest to God don't know. I mean,
if we can get both Snell and Strowman, I think we'll be okay.
That's going to be a nice step. For what the East is looking like it's going to be, that would be a good... That would be a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, end up being, that would be a nice three. Like, at least, like, you look at that. What's the thing you always see? You want to play off. You always want three starters that something that you would look for, like, the playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, in 09, it was CeCe, Andy Pettit, and A.J. Burnett.
Yeah. If you don't like AJ Burnett.
Yeah, nah, fuck him. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Like, I don't know. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's really it for baseball news. There wasn't a whole lot for the week. But we're starting to get closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, being by Yankee Stadium a few weeks ago, I mean, look, I've been over there a few times since I've been back, and obviously, you know, in the past when I would come out here. But I don't know. Honestly, kind of being over there just kind of got me ready for baseball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, know that feeling. I was watching a lot of college basketball last night.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers with a big win. I was watching Purdue go down to Nebraska. Like, and not just got beat, they got stomped out.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned college basketball because my school and my cousin's school are both playing each other right now.
North Carolina and North Carolina State?
Yep.
Yo, so,
see, there's respect there between those two. It's that other school in North Carolina we hate.
Well, it's called the Tobacco Road rivalry for a reason.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, you want to talk about no defense being played? I just saw a final of a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what this first one is. I only know the second one. It was 85-93. Youngstown State won 93-85. The over-under... was 150.
Oh God!
They blew that out of the fucking water.
Mm-hmm.
That was, dude, 93 points in a college basketball game. That's insane. And to let up 82.
Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, who the fuck cares about the goddamn Penguins?
Exactly.
Shows how much of a basketball fan I am, or a college person I am, if I know what the Youngstown State Penguins are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Basketball, not a lot of news either. I'm not going into the Lakers bullshit last night, because honest to God, unless you saw it, no one really cares about LeBron James and AD throwing themselves on the floor to get...
Mm-hmm.
To get fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Only game.
Spoelstra signed a new extension, $120 million for 8 years. Good for the Heat.
Yeah, he's a good coach. Yeah, he's a good coach. He's like the Mike Tomlin of the NBA.
Victor Wembanyama already has a fucking triple-double in his game
mm-hmm.
today. It's like, dude, that dude is a freaking alien.
Yeah.
Wish they actually had some players around him.
I mean, it's a rebuild.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but when you, it's literally when you only have 5 wins and the team you're playing right now has 3.
Oh, they're playing the Pistons?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Oh, dude, I put Wimbignano with a triple-double. I cashed that bet today. They're playing the Pistons. If he didn't get a triple-double, I would have been worried.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, NBA, college basketball finally getting going is fucking, thank God. Because I need something. Because with you only get the NFL, college football is officially over.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we can start diving into that. And I didn't even bring up the big news. I started off with, what is it, Hail to the Victor.
Yeah, I mean, look. They were the best team in the country all year long, from top to bottom. I mean, this team truly had no weaknesses, but, yeah, you could talk about what they did on the field, and that was great. But, I look at the mental toughness that Michigan put on display all year long because your head coach serves 2 suspensions, and you still find ways to win. And you remember I told you I wasn't necessarily a fan of them talking, right? But I wasn't a fan of them saying, oh, yeah, this is for Coach Jim. This is for Harbaugh. You know, this is for Coach H. Just go out there and do it. And they did that. Looking at the game, I said it. I have the team to win this game. They had to establish the tempo of the game and dictate the tempo of the game in their favor. Because you look at the Rose Bowl, right? That was a dogfight at the line of scrimmage. You know, it was a ball control battle. Who can be more physical, and most importantly, who can be more man in the trenches, right? And it ended up being Michigan. Whereas Texas and Washington, that was a game of – it was a track meet. You know, who could win the shootout? And, you know, for Washington to have won that game, they kind of had to take a page out of TCU's book, turn it into a shootout, establish the tempo, and dictate the tempo of the game in your favor. That's number one. And then number two, for Michigan, they had to make the game ugly because that's what you do against teams when they want to make games a track meet. You punch them in the mouth, and you make it a street fight. And that's exactly what Michigan did. They ran that football. They ran the ball for over 300 yards.
With 2 different backs.
So running the football still pays dividends, is what I'm getting at.
They won by playing old-school Michigan football.
Bingo. They ran the ball, and they played downhill defensively. I couldn't be happier for this program. You know, I kind of like Michigan football. They're my favorite college football team. I've liked them for years. But
now let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Do we see this again next year? Not the team, because obviously the team is going to be, but do we see the style? Because the rumor is Harbaugh is leaving.
If he does leave, you know who they're going to get to replace him, right?
I really think they should give it to
Sharon Moore.
The was he the OC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, stay in house. What's the point of going out of house when he knows the ins and outs of the program? The players absolutely love him.
Love him, yeah.
And, I this would be like Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman after Brian Kelly left for Baton Rouge. You see what I'm saying? If Jim does leave, they have to give this to Sharon Moore. I'd love to see him get the job. And he's young. And I think that would be even better. But, and he was great in pressure cooker situations. I mean, the game he called.
Penn State.
Again, bingo. You know, they ran that football, and they ran the ball. They only threw the ball 8 times, and they didn't complete a pass in the second half of that football game. You know, and then even in the game against Ohio State, when you needed a big throw or you needed a big play, he knew what to dial up, and they did it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, they manhandled. Michigan State, they fucking embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
They handled all their games that they needed to. I mean,
yeah, so, I mean, more than likely, Harbaugh leave, I can see it, but I would love to see him stay back.
I would love to see him listen, he and another person we'll talk about in a little bit are the epitome of college football. There's actually two guys we'll talk about that are the epitome of college football, and they're one's retiring, the other's kind of back on the market. But Harbaugh needs a set. As much as he is intrigued about going to the NFL, he's a college coach.
Yeah, I think his
he's like
style.
He's a Steve Spurrier. He's a Nick Saban. He's a shit. He's the guy that can go and mold kids into what he wants, not grown men that will ignore him,
mm-hmm.
like Dennis Allen. I'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
So the final top 25 came out.
Okay.
AP poll top, the last 25 came out. We'll go through this. So teams that have gotten out, these are usually what you're going to start seeing for next year's preseason polls.
Mm-hmm.
So teams that have gotten knocked out, Oregon State, Tulane, and James Madison. Kind of figured that they lost their bowl games, not a shock.
Okay.
25, Liberty.
Okay.
24, Iowa. 23, Kansas. 22, SMU. 21, NC State.
Mm-hmm.
20, Clemson. 19, Louisville. Team that I will have a hot take on real quick. Number 18, K-State. Number 17, Tennessee. 16, OK State. 15, Boomer Sooners.
Mm-hmm.
14, Notre Dame. 13, Penn State. 12, LSU. 11, Arizona. 10, Ohio State. 9, Ole Miss. 8, Missouri. 7, Oregon. They're kind of tied for 6, but it's 7, Oregon. 6, Florida State. 5, Alabama. 4, Georgia. 3, Texas. 2, Washington. And obviously 1, the undefeated Michigan Wolverines.
Mm-hmm.
On this list, and I know it means nothing right now, does anything surprise you on this list? A team that's not on it that won their bowl game, or a team that should not be on this?
What's the top 5 again?
Michigan 1. I'm just going to go 1 through 5. Michigan, Washington, Texas, Georgia, Bama.
I agree with that top 5. I look at, Michigan. I think J.J. McCarthy's coming back next year. So that's going to be big time for them. I don't know about Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum, but
Corum said, from what he was talking about, it looks like he's not.
Okay.
From how he was speaking to in his end of the game, it did not look like he was coming back.
Okay. Michigan's going to be tough once again next year. They finally have it figured out.
I agree with that.
Put it that way, because think about it. When Jim first took the job, their mental toughness was nowhere close to what it is today. Okay? I said it a lot throughout the year, and I'll say it right now once again. You know how everybody was talking about they had an easy schedule and whatnot this year? You know.
That changes next year.
Yeah. They lose at least 2 of those games if this is 2016 and 2017.
Without
question. So their mental fortitude is stronger now than what it ever was all those years ago.
I'll say this. So there's one thing that shocks me on here. The fact that USC is not on this list.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not even talking about top, like, whatever. I'm surprised they're not in the last bottom 25. And it has a lot to do with the guy that's going to be taking over for Caleb. Coming in cold as hell and dropping a dime on Oh, fuck. Why am I chasing on who they face? Like, they smoked, USC smoked their bowl game. Like, they destroyed, I'm trying to think who they had. I know they had the DirecTV, what's it called? It was the DirecTV Holiday Bowl, because they poured eggnog on fucking what's-his-name's head.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I will find out in 2 seconds. Oh, come on, where are you? Why are you so hard to find, USC? Oh, yeah, okay. Just, you know what, screw it. Just go right to the scores, because God forbid you can't fucking give me the actual... I hate ESPN sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisville. They stomped out Louisville.
Right.
42-28. Moss is going to be the quarterback coming in next year. 372, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. Coming in cold and putting on a show. Now, with that being said, looking at USC's schedule, a hot take for them is they will not be going bowling next year, and I will stand by that. They have a hard schedule next year, and I think with the lack of defense that USC always has every year, they're going to only – I think they'll – honestly, God, I think they're only going to win 5 games.
I can see it.
I think the other thing is too is I think you're going to see teams like Kansas State and Mizzou be in the college football playoffs next year.
Maybe.
Because it expands to 12 teams, 11, top 11 plus the one Power 5 school, or one Big 5 school. This year would have been Liberty, who, ugh. Sorry, Liberty. Oregon stomped the shit out of you. Good old U.S. Good UCF game right there. Champions in your own right minds.
Yeah.
But there was one other thing that I had to say, too, is even though you get a team like that, but then you look at a team like Florida State, who is bringing in DJU, is going to be their quarterback next year. Does someone like him coming in make Florida State still a power team?
You know, I think they'll still be good because they're well coached. And also, ask yourself, what team in the ACC is remotely close to being on their level? Like, to me, Florida State, they're the class of the ACC. I know they're probably going to lose Jarrett Verse. You know, he's probably going to be a top 10 pick in the spring in the NFL draft. I'm sure they're probably going to lose Keon Coleman, but, you know, Florida State, they're going to get back to the basics. They're going to run the football, and Mike Norvell is going to find talent. You know, like, this was the most talented roster that he had since taking over, and I think he's going to, you know, I think he's going to keep that afloat. You know, that's why recruiting is so crucial in college football. You got to find guys that fit your system, and you got to find guys that, you know, will just give everything they can give on the football field. And they're going to put DJU in the proper position to succeed. And also remember, he's played in the ACC, so he knows the ins and outs on what it takes to win in that conference. I just don't think Clemson put him in the right position to win football games. You know, think. Who was a top target of his when he was at Clemson?
I mean,
name one.
Oh, God damn it, the running back.
I'm talking about a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, he had no wide
receiver. Bingo. Then, you know, he goes to Corvallis, which I think was really good for him because it showed him how to become a better leader. And I think being out of – you know, a major spotlight like Clemson helped him. You know, I think I just think the scenario for him at Clemson, it was tough for him to come into because look who he was replacing. Trevor Lawrence, he only lost two games in college his entire tenure. They win national championships. They're one of the best teams in college football. And it's tough to come in and fill those shoes. You see what I'm saying?
Right. So here right now is just a run-through of the big games because they actually released the Florida State's schedule this year. So big games they have, obviously, Georgia Tech to kick off. They kick off in Ireland with Georgia Tech.
Okay.
At Notre Dame.
In week two?
In week three.
Okay, that's going to be a big one because – Notre Dame's had their number the last couple of years. That's going to be a big one.
And that's in Notre Dame. Week five is in Doak against Florida.
Wow, they're in Florida. Usually they play Florida at the end of the year.
End of the year, yep. They're in Doak for BC. Week five, seven.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Doak for Cal. They have Cal this year, which I don't know how well that's going to last. They end the year, so they swap Florida for Miami.
Oh, that makes sense.
So Miami is the second week, the second to last week of the year. So it's the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then they go out to SMU.
Interesting.
Could that be a huge trap game for them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because remember, SMU comes in and they have SMU comes in and with nothing to lose. I mean, they might be in the I think they split over to the Big 12, don't they? Or do they come into the ACC that year?
They're coming to the ACC, I believe.
So that's an ACC game. I mean, not a rivalry game, but it's an ACC game. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that could have a whole lot of – that could have a huge, huge thing. That could be a big game. I mean, that's a huge – like they're front-loaded. Their season is front-loaded with games. Like November 9th, they already dropped that – actually, no, it's not week – sorry. They just announced the date, so it's not in week three, but it's November 9th. So I think that's going to be like, I think that's week five. Gators, I was wrong about that. They actually put the dates up first. So the Gators are going to be November 30th. So they are Thanksgiving weekend. Their rivalry week.
So they play the U?
They play the U later, earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 2 weeks they have right now is Georgia, Memphis, and then the 3 weeks in November is at Notre Dame, the Charleston Southern Buccaneers, you know, the walkthrough, and then the Gators.
Okay.
Still, they don't have an easy schedule.
They don't.
So if they get in, they get in because they earn it.
I agree.
Yeah, but all right, early hot take. What do you think we're going to see next year? Like, who do you think is a possibility that is a long shot to make the playoffs, or who do you see as a team that's not going to be bowling?
You know, I want to say Oklahoma can make it, but I think it's going to be tougher for them, because remember,
they're going to be in the SEC.
Exactly. They're going to be in the SEC. I don't know. This might be something you might have to ask me in the summer, because,
right.
You know, it's just, it's kind of tough to say right now, but because I'm going to forget countless times
that
now it's expanding to a 12-team bracket.
Right.
You know, I just think you know, I want to see what Oklahoma and Texas do. Like, their paths got a lot more challenging, but I will say I trust Texas a little bit more than I do Oklahoma.
Yeah, so that October 12th is going to be the Red State or Red River.
Red River?
Yep.
I'm glad they kept that rivalry.
That game is going to go on until 2030. I mean, they got a sponsor on it, so they can't really.
And even if you know, when 2030 comes, you know, whenever I think of college football, that's one of the rivalries that I think of.
Oh yeah, and I mean, dude, Oklahoma ain't easy. They have. Even their non-conference is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the main Black Bears, they have Houston, Temple, and Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy. But then their SEC schedule is Tennessee, Auburn, Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Missouri, Bama, and LSU. They end the year with Missouri, Bama, and LSU.
Who, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, they're at Missouri and at Baton Rouge. They're home, luckily, they're home for Bama. But again, it's still Bama. It's.
Mm-hmm.
I think Missouri is going to be the team that shocks it, that shocks everybody, because the only team they only see two teams this year that could put them in any trouble to not make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and 10-2 will make the playoffs this year. A two-loss team will make it because 12 teams or 11 teams in an at-large. But the only two games they really will have trouble with is they play at Texas A&M. They're home for Oklahoma, so I don't even see that, but they're at Alabama. They don't see Georgia this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing last year. They always ran into Georgia, but because they got rid of the East and the West, I believe it's all one thing. They have the Murray Racer, the Murray State, they have Buffalo, Boston College, Vandy. Then they're off, then they're at College Station. That game is going to be a freaking slugfest. They go to Utah, then they're home for Auburn, at Bama, off Oklahoma, at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and home against the Razorbacks. They can go 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. K-State, I could also see, but I won't get into that. They have a hard schedule, though, this year.
Yeah.
Or next year. But, I mean, to the big news, and that's the retirement of Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Coached at Alabama for 17 years, was the head coach of the San Diego Chargers?
Miami Dolphins.
We were Dolphins. I knew it was light blue. Yeah, but he was never an NFL coach. As much as he was there, he passed up on Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
He never was a NFL style coach.
Right.
The hell? Sorry, we lost Twitch. I don't know. Even though it says we're live on Twitch, go figure. Huh. Whatever. Oh, no, we're back. That was weird. Huh. everybody. No. Saban, I mean, him going, who takes over now?
I think Dan Lanning would be absolutely perfect for the Crimson Tide. He's young. He knows the SEC because, you remember, he was Kirby Smart's defensive coordinator for their championship team in 2021, right?
Right.
He left in 2022 to become the head coach of Oregon. You know, he's young. He's energetic. He loves the game. His players love playing for him. I mean, look, whoever they get, they're going to have a tough time filling those shoes because Nick Saban was the golden standard.
He was.
I mean, you want to know an interesting fact?
What?
Guess how many first-round draft picks came from under Nick Saban?
First-round picks, I could think of two. I can't even say Hurts.
Just throw a number out there.
56.
Yeah, 44. So,
okay.
Guess how many games Nick Saban lost with Alabama?
Wasn't it something like 22?
29. So he had more first-round picks
than he did losses.
That just goes to show you how damn good he was. Look, Nick Saban is the greatest college football coach I've ever seen.
By the way, here's an interesting fact about that. Half of those losses came in the first 2 years at Alabama.
Exactly. He is the best college football coach I've come to know. And I don't think we're going to see a run like this ever again. And this may be a long shot. You know who's another guy I can see taking over, but I don't see him leaving where he is now?
Who?
Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
I think Kirby is – he would be text – he's textbook made for what it is they want to do in Tuscaloosa because he's taken everything he's learned from Nick and has turned turned Georgia into Alabama East.
Okay, so there's one guy – there's a handful of guys that I could see – that have just apparently lost their jobs or are leaving their jobs. One that is a no, that's probably a no, that I think would be hilarious because they're looking to try to push him out of New England. Could you see Bill Belichick taking it?
Nah. I think that would be almost a downgrade to him a little bit. I just don't see it.
The other one that I can see is, Seattle's head coach that just got let go.
Pete Carroll?
Carroll.
Yeah, I mean, he said he's not done coaching. You know, Pete was a great college coach, and he's been good in the NFL.
Yeah. But also, he's worked with Saban.
Yeah, he has, but I honestly... You know, there's always a wave of coaches, and young coaches are in now. And I just, you know, I think Dan Lanning would be the perfect hire for them.
Yeah. Oh, so you ready for this? I pulled up Nick Saban's head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
For college.
Yeah, let me
college hear. Only. When he was in Toledo, he was had 1 year in Toledo. He was 9-2. He was tied for first in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was the head coach at Michigan State. He was 34-24-1. Was fifth, 6-6, and tied for second. Michigan State, that's when they went to the Citrus Bowl in 99.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was with the LSU Tigers. After his stint in Miami, he came to LSU.
And won a national championship in 2007?
No. 2001? No, 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the coach's AP poll, and then the AP poll was two.
Yeah,
he,
I remember.
And that's when they played. I forget who they played, so I don't even.
I think they played Oklahoma.
It might have been, but they were 13-1. They finished. He finished in LSU with a 48-16 record.
Mm-hmm.
And the only bowl game he lost was the Cotton Bowl and the Capital One Bowl with LSU. Then we get to Alabama. 201-29.
Yeah. No, you could just always pencil Alabama in to not only win the their division, but to play in Atlanta for the SEC championship to be a bowl team.
Yep. His overall record was 292-71-1.
Yeah.
He had one. I guess this was before all the overtimes. He had one tie in Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
His first year in Michigan State.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the greatest. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He is the greatest college coach. As much as people like Joe Paterno and stuff like that, let's not even talk about the legacy that passed him through that got him released from his job. But Saban is probably one of the greatest college coaches up there with, say, like a Bear Bryant.
Bobby Bowden.
Like, he is on that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, 100%.
But he's also the guy that went to the NFL, realized he wasn't there. He realized he was not good in the NFL and went back to college, and he was the guy that was the college staple.
Yeah.
He was a guy like today that is why am I fucking spacing on his name now? The guy that was in Carolina.
Who, Matt Rhule?
Matt Rhule. Thank you. He was a guy that went to the pros, didn't do well, came back to college, and he's doing fine.
Yeah, you just know you're calling.
Yeah. But it's a different breed. An NFL coach, you have to be able to manage grown men.
Right.
When you are a college coach, you also really have to be a teacher. You're around these kids more than anybody else. You have to be a teacher.
Right.
Nick Saban was the ultimate teacher. He's the one that prepared you for the next level.
Exactly.
That's why you don't see a lot of Alabama players doing stupid shit.
You sure about that?
You don't see a lot of them. I said a lot of them. You still see some, Quint Williams.
Hey, be respectful.
Hey, he did some stupid shit. He's a Jet, and I'm saying he did some stupid shit.
Be respectful.
But but he also looks at it as himself as a brand.
Yeah, exactly.
The Saban brand does not have a lot of fucking idiots on it.
No, it doesn't.
Does it have a lot of scholars? No.
Right.
But it doesn't have freaking idiots.
Not wrong.
No. But... Again, someone like I said, Pete Carroll, I could see taking that. Or they just give it to, why am I spacing on the or? Houston's old coach, the Texans.
Bill O'Brien?
There you go.
Nah. Nah, I can't see that. I can't see it, just due to the simple fact. You know, he really wasn't the greatest when he was at Penn State. You know?
Yeah. Oh, now this should be interesting, though. Now you're seeing a lot of recruiters or kids that that have been recruited by Saban,
mm-hmm.
backing out of their letter of intent.
I saw that.
I think that's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, because I don't think you're going to see Alabama losing a lot, because it's Alabama. It's like the Yankees. As much as the coach is there, you want to play for Saban, but you want to wear the crimson.
Yeah.
It's like wearing the pinstripes. They're the Yankees of college football.
Yeah.
I mean, even before Saban got there, let's face it, there was always a rule in my household. You're betting on it, you never bet against Alabama, or you never bet against you never bet against Arkansas. Because for some reason, they always do good.
Yeah.
And even though Arkansas has been up and down, they've always been like a mediocre. They always go bowling. They're always a 500 team. You don't fuck with those two teams.
Exactly.
But, all right. I don't know where the hell Ryan is. Trying to see what's going on, because I know he had to close today, so.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything, before we get to the NFL, is there anything else you want to touch on? Is there anything, I know you had a little to talk, I know you did a lot of talking on Monday Evening Quarterback, but is there anything you...
And I have a little announcement I got to make about Monday Evening Quarterback. We're going to resume it Monday, January 29th.
Okay. Oh, did I actually, I hit that, sorry. I hit that same game parlay. Nice.
Oh, God.
No, I actually – so here's the thing. So the Detroit game,
mm-hmm.
I did a Jalen Durden points and assist over 20. Hit that. Wembanyama points and assist over 24. He had 26. A double-double, he had a triple-double. And then I had them winning, and they blew out the Pistons.
Wow.
At 10, what is it? It was a $3 bet. I won $35. I won $45 on it because I had a because it was 10-1.
Right.
Not too shabby.
It happens.
I'll take it.
Exactly.
And it's a winner. That's all that matters. Okay, this I can ask you.
Yeah.
Besides North Carolina, have you been rolling into any college football, college basketball yet?
Not really. Like, I really get into college basketball maybe like that week off between the Super Bowl and, I mean, I saw a little bit of Missouri in Kentucky yesterday, and you know, obviously, you know, I'm keeping track of my team, because right now we're up by 7.
Yep.
on NC State. But it's funny, you want to hear something funny?
What?
Every time I watch North Carolina, they lose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, remember when I lost to Villanova, you know? I'm just like, damn, because that was a game we could have won, but they just ran out of gas, and that was on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you always get the one shiny moment bit.
Yeah, oh, fuck off. Then there was the game against UConn, which I knew was going to be tough because UConn's the defending champs. Yeah, like every time we got into a rhythm, UConn just found a way to pull away. And then Kentucky, you know, so we lost to 3 really good basketball teams. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love the effort that our guys are giving on the floor this year because, like, they just quit so many times last year and they were losing a team that they shouldn't have. Boston, and, you know, you and I always say it, you know, the sport is always better when certain teams are good, and North Carolina's a blue blood. But, you know, there's still more to be done. Like, I saw a bracket yesterday, right? And they had us as the 2 seed in the same bracket as UConn.
You would be, as of right now, you're 7, so you would follow the 3. So you would follow the two seed.
Yeah, we'd be on the 2 line.
No, I'm saying you would be on the 2 seed with the number 2 seed. So you shouldn't be on the line with UConn. You should be on the line with Houston.
Yeah, look.
But Houston just lost, so.
Remember, we went on a run in 2022 when nobody expected it. Right?
Right.
I think we're good enough this year to at least make it to the Sweet 16.
But what's interesting is that's going to change right now, especially if you win, because Kansas just lost, Tennessee just lost. So that's 3 and 5 down. UConn is up by 4 going into half against Xavier, and TCU is beating Oklahoma, who's 9.
Oh, wow.
So, and then you also have the number 1 and number 2 teams last night losing.
Yeah.
So, there, you could have right now, unless they lose, UConn could be the number 1 seed.
What,
coming out of this.
Oh?
Yeah, the number 1 in the AP.
Yeah, I can see it.
Because Iowa State beat Houston, Nebraska beat Purdue, then you have Kansas losing today, and Tennessee as the 5. The 4 right now is UConn, so if they lose, I mean, if they win, you could see next week UConn being number 1.
Yeah, but, again, there's only 2 games in the regular season that really matter to me.
Duke and this one.
Just Duke.
Oh, just Duke.
Because we're better than Duke this year.
Yeah.
If we don't come away with at least 1 victory against Duke, because I think we can sweep Duke this year. Like, this team, the best North Carolina team I ever saw was in 2009.
Right.
And, they just steamrolled everybody. And I think in the tournament that year, we won every game by, 10 or more points, including the national championship. And that happened to also be the year when Michael Jordan went into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
North Carolina's going to be tough. I'm telling people, everybody's looking at me, oh, you're just being a homer. No, you don't watch the fucking games.
No, this is the one year, even last year.
Oh, they were terrible last year.
Well, no, but I'm saying, the tournament, this is, again, we're in another year where anybody could win this. I honestly, just watching it and watching how teams are dropping, if you have a number by your name, good fucking luck.
Yeah, I mean, the tourney last year was as wide open as I've ever seen it.
And everyone, I love the people that were shocked that Princeton was there. And I'm like, I am not at all shocked that Princeton was anywhere near that, because God forbid, Princeton was one of those teams that, it's an Ivy League school. I've learned real quick that Ivy League school can take you out real quick. So where do they have, I'm actually looking at this right now. North Carolina, they have you. Okay, they have, so was it the ESPN one you were looking at? Christian. Okay, so if this is what he was looking at, ESPN also has them East in Boston. North Carolina is the 2 seed, so the top 4 seeds in that would be UConn, Baylor, Illinois, and North Carolina. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I see what you were looking at, that they have UConn as the 2 in the East with UConn as the 1, Baylor as the 4, and Illinois as the 3.
Yeah.
And they would have you taking on Drexler in the first round. Yep. Bro, you would hate this, though. Guess what the team, if this sticks, guess what the team in front of you is?
Who?
The next game would be the winner of Villanova-Cincinnati.
Oh, shit.
If this sticks, obviously. You know the bookmakers would, not the bookmakers, but the freaking committee would love that.
That
would suck for Duke.
Who?
They would put, right now the Duke is in the four going to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the travel would not be good for them. That would suck for them.
Yeah, screw them.
If Houston is one, I don't even see that. That's all going to change. But I'm trying to see who they would have as the at-large Ivy League, because I would laugh my ass off to see if it would be like Princeton again.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid. Like, dude, UConn would face NC Central if that sticks. That's a nerve-wracking game if I've ever seen one for a 16
mm-hmm.
seed. Creighton. I don't know. It's just something that we're going to keep an eye on. Oh, Princeton would be a 12 seed? Ha! They would be playing fucking Memphis. Yeah, give me Princeton. I'm traveling over to the bridge to Pennsylvania. Princeton all fucking day. But, all right. Let's, when Ryan gets here, we'll talk about it. But let's get into the NFL.
Okay.
And how in the course of the year the refs have kind of fucked us up. Can we admit that this might have been the worst officiating year in the NFL?
I mean, it sounds like you kind of forgot about 2012.
Listen, I understand that, but there have been so many blatant calls that they've missed. Like, I mean, just go through the season. The first one that stands to mind, just not because of being a homer, but the false pass interference on Sauce Gardner with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many blatant penalties in certain games that it made no sense. Just this whole year has been bad.
Yeah.
What was the game where they're demoting the umps from the play or the referees from the playoffs? Kansas City, the Kansas City game.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot with Kansas City, but I mean, let's call it like we see it. Let's call the big thing in the room. Oh, the Saints are going to be looking for a new coach next year, I think.
Wow, they fired Dennis Allen?
No word yet. But after the Falcons game, I would not be surprised if we see it.
Yeah.
Because, so if no one knows what happened, the Saints beat the Falcons 48-17. Okay, no big deal. They fired the head coach of the Falcons, but the biggest story that came out of this was after the interception to end the game, they're in victory formation. Jameis Winston does not take a knee, hands the ball off, and they score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. Everyone, and even myself at the beginning, said, you're professionals, stop him. Then other stories came out. So Jamal Williams was the full – they changed him over to a fullback, and he scored a touchdown. The problem with it is Dennis Allen called victory formation and to take a knee. Jameis Winston – after saying, oh, it was a team decision, went against coach's orders and ran up the score and ran the ball. I'm sorry. I understand you feel bad for the guy not getting a touch and not getting touches because he's a fullback. But why didn't they get – but here's the thing. Then talk to the coach, and why didn't he get touches when you were up 40 to 17? He could have played full running back the whole fourth quarter and got a touchdown then. You go against the coach's order. I get it. You wanted to. But as Shannon Sharpe said, and I agree with him, Jameis Winston should be cut for defying the coach. Or – or you fire the coach.
Oh, that's bullshit. That's bullshit.
For going against coach's orders?
You don't like something, stop it.
I understand that, but...
So let me ask you this. Did you have a problem with this when the Patriots were doing it in 2007?
Here's the thing. Okay.
Answer the question.
No. Well, it depends. Yes, I did have an issue with it, but the issue is, too, is when the game was over... and you're in victory formation, you're surrendering for the most part. It's not like Dan Marino faking a spike and killing the clock. You are literally giving you – okay, if you were going to go against coach's orders, why didn't you just go into I formation then? Why'd you run a quote-unquote trick play? Come out of the eye, then, and give him the ball. And at least then it's like, okay, we're running a play. We're running it up. They're in victory formation. The defense is not expecting you to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger thing is either A, they have to let go of the coach or Jameis Winston. Because he's lost the locker room no matter what. If Winston is going against the coach's orders – then, oh, it's a team thing. Well, then it's one of the two. Either the quarterback's going to be defiant or the coach needs to go because you lost the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And if the coach is flat out saying, I didn't call that, well, it looks bad on everybody. It looks bad on the organization. It looks bad on Winston. It actually looks bad on Winston. No matter how hard you look at it, it looks bad on him because now he's going rogue. What?
Yeah.
What team is going to want a quarterback that goes rogue?
Yeah.
Now, the way Shannon Sharpe said it, oh, he should be cut. No, then how Sharpe should say it? Should Winston lose his job? Because, no, he should lose his job because he went rogue. Not because, he wanted someone to get a touchdown. No, dude, you were in 50 formation. Fine. If you were going to go against the coach, line up in the eye. Line up in power. Why'd you go in victory formation? If you're going to run the score up, run the fucking score up and do it properly. Like the Patriots did it. They ran the score up, but they never went into victory formation.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue. It's how it looks. Did nothing for the Saints anyway because they got bumped out of the playoffs. Because Winston couldn't win games against Tampa Bay. I don't know. What's your thoughts on this?
I mean, this is common, but, you know, I'm also in the belief of if you don't like something, stop it. Like, plain and simple. Other than that, I think they're kind of driving this topic into the ground. I'm kind of tired of hearing about it.
Well, we haven't – I mean, they've kind of stopped it. We haven't talked about it since it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we haven't given our opinion. I mean, there's no word on who's getting what yet. But I think if they're going to do something, they need to do it before the draft. And I really think it's going to be Allen losing his job. Because not only the fact that he defied him, it's you lost the locker room too. That's the big thing. It's like you lost the locker room.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's more the issue. It's like, okay, he lost the locker room. He needs to go. You need to find a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the question is who gets what? Do you go after someone, like, if he leaves, you go after someone like Harbaugh? Do you go after someone like a Pete Carroll who wants to still coach? It's like, then the carousel begins, because they're not going to go after Belichick, because he's going to, if he's going anywhere, he's either staying in New England or he's going out to L.A.
Oh, I think he needs to retire.
I think he needs to leave his coaching position and stay as a GM.
Yeah.
That's what I honestly got to think.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it is what it is, and it does what it does. Where the fuck are you, Ryan? I'm texting him right now. Yeah, all right, bro. We'll get his picks when he comes on. But, I mean, is there anything in the NFL that you kind of, that you plucked, that you've already, that you haven't said, that's happened since Monday Evening Quarterback?
Nah, not really.
No?
Not really.
I think, I'll tell you one thing, Bills fan, that got fucking shot and killed outside of Hard Rock. Bro, this, like, it's a game, people. Need to stop.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, this happened 9 hours ago. Bills fan shot, killed outside of Dolphin Stadium.
That's just stupid.
South Florida police says a man was fatally shot, 30-year-old Buffalo Bills fan, during an altercation outside of Hard Rock Stadium after Bills fan defeated Miami in the final regular season game. And his friends were returning to their vehicle after a Saturday night. They had an alleged altercation with a driver of another vehicle. Miami police released the news. The driver pulled a gun and shots fired, who died at the scene, police said. The man filed an old model Accord, Honda Accord, Palm Beach, was located in Palm Beach the next day. The vehicle was seized. An investigation has identified and interviewed suspects. Names have not been released. The investigation is ongoing. GoFundMe page has been raised for nearly $90,000 to cover the cost of the funeral. This is something, again, protect the shield. The shield cannot protect this. This is something the NFL needs to come out and talk about. Why was a gun allowed on property?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. If he had it in his car, why was a gun allowed on property? It's private property, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So why? It makes no sense. It sucks. Literally, I've seen some fucked up shit in NFL in at Giant Stadium. And not the Meadowlands, not the new bullshit, Giant Stadium.
Right.
Like, I'll give you a story. Do you remember the old, remember Mike Nugent?
Mm-hmm.
So they were playing the Saints. This was before he was a Saint. He was when he was a Jet. They lose the game because of a Mike Nugent missed field goal. Someone is talking shit, and this is when I believe Pennington came back for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Some dude took a letter opener and stabbed another dude in the bathroom. Didn't die, but the guy got shanked with a freaking letter opener in the bathroom at Giant Stadium. Just for legal reasons, allegedly.
You want to hear what happened to me at a White Sox-Yankees game?
Oh, boy. Well, it's Chicago, so this should be interesting.
I had, you know, I have a couple of jerseys, and I have the gray road one, you know, the one that says New York on it.
Yeah, the traditional.
Yeah. I was getting a hot dog. No, it was an Italian. No, it was a Polish.
Okay.
And putting some ketchup on it. And why this always used to happen, Red Sox fans always used to show up for Yankees-White Sox games.
Why? Because it had the word socks in it?
I don't know. But you know Red Sox fans are stupid.
Clearly.
Some of them. Because I have a couple of friends. Like, one of my dear friends is a huge Red Sox fan, and we developed a very good friendship.
Unlike Dustin.
That's not who I was talking about.
I know, but I said unlike Dustin, who don't know shit.
No, he don't. And the Red Sox fan bumps into me intentionally, and ketchup gets all over my jersey. Now, my first instinct was to go and whoop his ass, but this was 2010, and a group of Yankee fans were right there, and they were like, uh-uh, stop it. He was like, nah, don't do anything. They're in last place for a reason.
It makes no sense. Like, I went to a Tampa Bay Yankee game. I'm in the outfield. And I see this chick standing up. She's a Red Sox fan. She's Red Sox one. She's bragging, shit like that. I see her boyfriend go, sit the fuck down before you get me killed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, like, look, if I ever go back to Fenway, I got to go when they're playing a Randall. I can't go when they're playing a Yankee because I'll hurt somebody.
Right.
I'm serious. Like,
So, all right, yeah, and I mean, that's a big thing. That literally just broke a couple hours ago. That was 9 hours ago. CJ, all right, so let's talk about this right now, and then we'll get into our picks. Rookie of the year.
Offensive or defensive?
Go offensive first.
Oh, come on now. Really?
Well, here's the thing. I think me and you both agree it's going to be CJ.
Right.
The argument now I've been hearing from people is that Puka Nacua should get it.
Nah.
Now, if this was any other year, I would say yes.
Yeah, but see, you want to know the difference between Puka and CJ?
What's
one
that?
Led the team to a division title.
But the other one broke a rookie record.
Yeah, but remember, man, quarterbacks, the quarterback-driven league.
Right, and that's why I said if this was any other year,
it would go to Puka.
It would go to Puka. But because Houston had no chance, the people, I remember even us saying this on air, none of us thought Houston was going to win the division. We didn't even think, we thought they would have taken a step up. We didn't think they would even have made a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from dead last to having, what, 4 wins last year to having 10 and winning the South?
With a rookie head coach?
With a rookie and a rookie quarterback. And a rookie defensive end. Like, and a second-year corner. Like, that team is very young. That team is going to be scary.
Yeah.
Now, not saying they'll win any titles, but they'll be in the running. I think that it's going to be – they haven't looked this good since they drafted Deshaun Watson. Since they had Watson on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So, good on Houston. All right, defensive rookie.
I think it's going to come down to Will Anderson or Jalen Carter.
I agree with that.
Because Jalen Carter has had an immense impact on the Eagles defense. And I know it's been a rough year for Philly on defense. But nah, you know, I look at you know, Jalen. I think Jalen leads the league amongst rookies in sacks.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think Jalen wins it.
I agree with that. I think you're going to see a lot of interesting things come from it. I think Jalen, I think you're going to see, I mean, right now it's the top of the draft. There was nobody that came out of the top of the draft that's not, has the chance to win a award.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see, but all right, you know the next one I'm going to ask you.
What?
Comeback player of the year.
I got to go Baker, man. Baker Mayfield, I mean, he bet on himself and he believed in himself. You see what I'm saying? Look at the scenario he went in to. Team that's won the division 2 years in a row prior to him getting there. You're coming in after Tom Brady, and nobody knows what to expect from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think they're the biggest surprise still remaining right now in the playoffs. He just looks comfortable there. You didn't see that comfortability in Cleveland. You damn sure didn't see it with the Panthers. And yeah, you know, he made a couple of nice throws here and there with the Rams, but you know, he's just learned so much, and you know, I just see a more mature Baker Mayfield. I remember when he won that Heisman for Oklahoma. He was immature then. Now, I've seen Baker Mayfield develop as a leader. May not speak a lot, but he leads by example, and his team follows him. I couldn't be more proud of him. It's Baker Mayfield for me.
Okay, so before anyone in the comments jumps down our throat, the DeMar Hamlin situation is a great story. The problem is DeMar Hamlin did not play.
Yeah, he didn't play.
And
I'd rather reward someone who did.
So right now, according to, I believe this is MGM, BetMGM, they have Joe Flacco as the second player behind there. Baker Mayfield is 15. I agree with you. I think Baker Mayfield should win. Joe Flacco is a great story, but Baker did it from day one and won the division.
Bingo.
If he didn't win the division, I'd be giving it to Flacco. I'm sorry. As much as DeMar Hamlin is a great story, oh, he came back to life. The only person – I heard people go, DeMar Hamlin, greatest story ever. The only two people that ever come back to life was him and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, but what did he do? Oh, well, he died on the field. Okay, but the Buffalo Bills did the smart thing and took his helmet.
Exactly.
But everyone's like, oh, well, he played special teams. I go, what did he do? He did nothing. I go, well, then that's exactly it. He came back and played, yes. But he did not make an impact of his team. He came back and played. And everyone's like, oh, well, this. I go, okay, Alex Smith almost died too. But we don't talk about that.
But Alex Smith actually played.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. I go, Alex Smith almost lost his leg. He almost died allegedly from freaking like gangrene. It was an infection. He came back. I believe it was an infection. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on it. But he had a Theismann break in his leg. Came back and took the Washington football team to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That is a comeback. Geno Smith should have been out of the fucking league.
And what he did last season
was comeback player of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good. North Carolina won.
Okay. DeMar Hamlin, I hate saying it. Yes. Came back from dying. But you honored him last year already with a celebratory award. You don't need to give him this. If you give him this, then what the fuck does this honor mean?
Yeah.
You look at TJ Watt, you look at Breece Hall. The only people that were on this list, what did Stafford come back from? What did he have last year? Was he hurt last year?
Yeah, he dealt with quite a few injuries last
year. Yeah. Russell Wilson was bad. Lamar Jackson was bad. Breece Hall, torn ACL. Okay. Kyler Murray, the fact that he's back playing is a fucking story on its own. Kyler Murray this year. The fact that he even played at all this year is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Flacco, a guy that literally a scab that came off the field and put him in there, and he now led them to 11 wins. I mean, he was also playing since, what, week 6? So he
right.
led the team. But the thing is Baker did it since day one.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So I'm going to define the definition. NFL Comeback Player of the Year, Ryan, your camera's on, is given to a player who overcome the most adversity after failing to play or play poorly this year.
Yeah, and look at Baker's numbers last year compared to this year.
Yeah, Ryan, your camera's on. I can't hear you either.
I'm not saying anything.
There we go. Hello.
I was just flipping you guys the fuck off.
Why are you flipping me off? I didn't do nothing to you.
Well, no, it wasn't for you. It was for Ronnie. Cause he was
okay, good, good.
Go fuck yourself.
I just got done playing a game of hide and go fuck myself.
Hey, listen. Have fun being the guy that's going to be having to call West Virginia games. I'm not going to talk about that either. We're going to leave that alone and just let that go away.
Just let it go.
So, Christian, Ryan, we're talking about NFL awards right now.
Okay.
Coach of the Year. It's pretty much Stefanski, don't you think?
Nah, Dan Campbell.
Campbell's actually a heavy dog. Stefanski's the favorite.
You know who it's not?
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say Stefanski because through four quarterbacks, right, he's on his fourth quarterback right now.
Yep.
He loses his best player, and he still has him in the playoffs. Yeah,
yep.
It's Kevin Stefanski.
And Ryan, who's it not?
Belichick.
Defensive Player of the Year. If they made the playoffs, it should have been Max Crosby.
T.J. Watt.
Oh, no, it's Myles Garrett.
No, it's T.J. Watt.
Myles Garrett's going to get it, though.
But, look, T.J. led the league in sacks. And you just see his value when he's on the field compared to when he's not. It's night and day. Like, T.J. is – look – I love Myles Garrett, and I was saying Myles Garrett for most of the year, but you really see how, you know, just how valuable T.J. Watt truly is to the Steelers' defense. And, you know, I'm going to back it up with facts once again. I mean, he, you know, 19 sacks, right? And he, you know, he's led the league in sacks 2 times in different seasons. Right?
Yep.
You know, 33 quarterback hits, that's tied for first. 3
fumble recoveries. That's tied for second. 4 forced fumbles. That's tied for fifth. 16 tackles for a loss. That's, you know, that's tied for sixth. I mean, nobody means more to their defense than T.J. Watt. And I'm not taking anything away from Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett has been absolutely phenomenal, right? But you take T.J. away from that Steelers defense, which he will be on Sunday, and you see the difference.
And we'll see what happens. Yeah, because they're 10-point dogs going into this game against
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't be surprised if Myles Garrett won it, and I'll be happy if he did, because Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett's the favorite right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
I mean,
actually, TJ is third on this list behind Micah Parsons.
Yeah, since you put it that way, Miles might win it because, you know, he's been the catalyst on the best defense in the league. Like, that no defense in the AFC outside of Baltimore, and even they've had their moments, has been as, you know, as complete as the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I agree with that. Ryan, who do you think? Without being Steelers biased.
What are we talking about?
Defensive player of the year. Pretty much it's between Myles Garrett, Parsons, and TJ.
It's TJ.
Yeah, there's your bias showing.
Dude, it's TJ. There's no fucking way it's not TJ.
I don't know. Myles Garrett was a fucking wrecking machine this year.
He was a wrecking machine, but so was fucking TJ, and TJ kicks some ass.
Now, I would say Myles Garrett, not Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, but he was getting held too much this year. Yeah, freaking 13 games without a holding call, Micah Parsons. That's insane. You're telling me out of 13 games, Parsons was never held once? Christian?
Yeah. But, nah, I think it's going to be Myles Garrett. You know, yeah, I made the case for TJ, but Myles was so scary this year. And he was the scariest edge rusher I've seen since J.J. Watt in his prime.
All right. Offensive player of the year, it's one of two people.
Actually, it's one of one, in all honesty. Christian McCaffrey.
If Tyreek got to 2,000, I would say Hills has a chance.
Yeah,
but it's CMC.
Yeah, it's CMC easily. You can go as far as to say he is the 49ers offense. You know, he's the key cog in that offense. You know, closest thing I've seen of LaDainian Tomlinson, can catch the ball, can run the ball, can block. You know, he moves around freely. I think Tyreek missing a game or two kind of hurt his cause. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey was just nothing but consistent all year long.
Now, the big thing – Ryan, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think McCaffrey.
Now, the big thing is going to be for MVP. Now, this is interesting. So I never thought about this. So McCaffrey is second – on the list for MVP. Lamar is first by a lot. There's one guy on this list that if you look at his stats, it kind of matches up, and they won their division. That's a big thing. I'm not saying he's going to win.
I know who you're talking about, too.
Dak?
That's not who I was thinking, but okay.
I think you can have a legit argument for Dak to be the MVP. For the league, because to go into the East, which was a pretty tough division,
mm-hmm.
as well as the North, like, let's not cut it, if you took Lamar out and you took Dak out, both teams are going to do shit. Both teams are the, for that offense, is their catalyst. I think the reason Lamar is going to get the MVP is because of what has he done towards the end of the year.
Yeah, but, you know, one thing, and again, to everybody listening, all you Lamar apologists, I don't hate Lamar Jackson. right? I really don't. But Lamar won MVP for his game against the Dolphins. He didn't win it in San Francisco. We're not going to ignore the fact his defense forced 5 turnovers and picked off Brock Purdy 4 times.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. So here's the thing. So, okay, I'm going to read these stats off exactly what we have at the end of the season. Lamar Jackson, passing yards, 3,678 with 24 with 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a QBR of 65.1. Now, that's not counting. Now, what's his? Now the question is what was his rushing stats for this year? Because that's a big thing with Lamar that you have to add in.
Yeah.
And I don't actually see what it was, because I think they only have passing stats for him on ESPN. Oh, here we go. Rushing. He averaged. Thank you, Brenda. Rushing yards, he had. Actually, it doesn't even say. That's funny that they don't even actually have his rushing yards. Like, I'm looking at this. Okay, he last 5 games, it was like 30, 40. He had about close to 500 rushing yards.
Oh, so, yeah, because he worked more on throwing the ball and running when he the play broke down.
Right. Which, great. You made sure you weren't going to get yourself hurt. Actually, here we go. Rushing. He rushed for 821 yards this year. Dak, get ready for this. So he still has just a little bit under 4,000. He has about 4,400. Okay? That's combined. Or you know what? We'll say 45 to make this argument. Dak Prescott passing 4,516 yards. So combined rushing and passing, Dak is still on pace with him. 36 touchdowns. He led the league in touchdown passes this year.
Ooh,
Dak.
Wow.
9 interceptions and a QBR of 72.6, which was second in the league. I listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's earned it. Dak should be the MVP of the league based if you're going on stats alone. And he won the division. He beat the Eagles when they needed to be beat.
Yeah, you can make a case for that.
He's not going to win. It's going to be Lamar. I hate even having to say that. But Dak should get it. Like, Dak right now is 18-1 to win the fucking MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long shot. But I mean, if you're going by stats, Dak actually had a better season than Lamar. And showed it on the field. If you remove Dak from the Cowboys are a 5-win team. Same thing with Lamar. You remove Lamar, they're 5-6-win team. They're not making playoffs either.
Yeah, because.
But Dak also, but the Dallas Cowboys also had a fucking better defense than the Ravens on paper.
No, Lamar's going to get it.
Who did you think I was going to say?
Honestly, Josh Allen, because he accounted for the most touchdowns out of anybody this year.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair.
Yeah, let me see how many he.
I'll pull up the stats. Okay. Talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Josh Allen, I don't know. I'll say this about Buffalo, and I'll say it too when we go to pick games, right? Buffalo. the best thing they could have did was fire Ken Dorsey, their offensive coordinator. And I say that because now I feel the Bills are a little more equipped to make a run in the playoffs.
I actually have to pull up his actual stats because I got to add his rushing stats to this.
Yeah,
show.
I think, you know, I think Buffalo's a little more equipped to make a run in the playoffs. Because look at it. The last couple of years, what was the Bills' mantra offensively? Josh Allen play hero ball. You don't really run the ball. Josh is your leading rusher, and you force feed the ball to Stephon Diggs, right?
Yep.
Now they're spreading the ball around to everybody that's open.
All right, so I got it.
Other
guys
are stepping up, you know. Kincaid, the rookie tight end. Dawson Knox. Stephon Diggs is still Stephon Diggs, but, you know, I look at Khalil Shakir, and I think he's going to be key in that game on Sunday. You know, they want to run James Cook. They want to build things around James Cook, and they want Josh Allen to scale the hero ball back as much as possible.
So I got Allen's stats for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Passing yards, 4,306, which was fourth overall in passing.
Mm-hmm.
He rushed, because this is a big thing, he rushed for 524. So you factor it in, he's got a little bit more total yardage than Dak and Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Total touchdowns, 29. He's tied for fifth for overall. Interceptions, 18.
Yeah, and that's a lot. And I think he led the league in interceptions.
Yeah, I think he actually did too. And then QBR, 69.3. What hurts him is his interceptions.
Yeah.
Like I said, but, like, it's going to be Lamar, and it's – I mean, Justin Fields had almost the same amount of yards as Lamar Jackson. Just he doesn't have the – he just doesn't have the wind to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, what are your thoughts? Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I don't have it on this one, man. Just telling you the truth.
Okay. Oh, I gotta. Oh boy. I gotta send you something, Ryan, from AEW. I'm gonna send it to your Twitter.
Oh dear Lord.
It's someone that it's Darby Allin getting hurt again.
Oh yay.
Yeah, it's. Ugh. Just why? All right, I sent it to you. It's on your Twitter. Oh,
right.
God damn it. But all right, let's get into our picks. And then, Ryan, if you got anything that you want to jump in on, you can jump in because we'll talk about the Pete Carroll stuff.
Ow.
Yeah. All right. First game on the list. Go to the schedule. So, all right. We're going to go by order, how the games are being played. And the first game on the list is the Cleveland Browns is a 2.5-point favorite over the Houston Texans. By the way, everyone, if you want to know where we're getting these odds from, it is from Caesar Sportsbook. Link will be in the description down below on how you can get $50 in credit. So, just follow us and figure that all out. But all right, let's go.
Motherfucking money.
Yeah, win some money. Yes, oh yes, money, guys, money. Cleveland, Houston. Over under is 44.5. We're in Houston. Home, and Houston is a home dog. Christian, as the regular season leader. You have honors. Who are you taking?
I like Cleveland in this one because I think they're the better team. And they have the experience at the most important position, which is quarterback. Joe Flacco's been here before, and they're not going to ask Joe Flacco to win the game for them. They're going to ask him to control things. They're going to run the ball. Lots of Jerome Ford, who I think is the key in this one, because anytime the Colts did anything offensively, they ran that football. And Houston had a tough time stopping it. They gave up almost 190 yards to one guy in Jonathan Taylor. I don't see Amari Cooper having the game that he did on Christmas Eve, where he had 265 yards receiving on 11 catches. And C.J. Stroud is going to play. But let me tell you guys something. When you mention the elite defensive-minded guys, make sure you mention Jim Schwartz in that conversation, because he's just as good as some of the others we mentioned. Dan Quinn. I think Jim is right behind Dan Quinn, because they're going to throw a lot of different looks at you. I think Myles Garrett has another big game. Yeah. I like Cleveland.
Okay, Ryan, second. What do you got?
I'm with Christian, man. I think Cleveland's got this game in the bag.
Experience. And right now, the experience is in Cleveland. Now, 2 years down the road, if we're looking at this from a different angle, God, how great would the story have been of Deshaun Watson versus going back to Houston to taking on his old team in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, Flacco is the guy that to beat. I think this game is going to be a shootout, so take the over. But, yeah, give me Cleveland 2.5.
And I'll say this. I think Cleveland is a dark horse to get to the Super Bowl. That defense travels. I mean, that defense has been stingy. It's been physical. And most importantly, it's been consistent all
year long. They can also – the one thing that they can do is play in cold weather.
Bingo.
And you have to go to Buffalo or Kansas City.
Or even Baltimore.
Or Baltimore. They can play in cold weather. And also, they played Baltimore. They can beat Baltimore.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So you're not wrong. By the way, if anyone wants to make that bet, Cleveland and whoever, it's like 50-1 for Cleveland to win the Super Bowl. If you pick the exacta, like it averages out to 50-1. So I like that. I do like Cleveland.
Honestly, I never thought I'd say this, but and Ryan, please don't kill me when I say this, please.
All right.
You know who this Browns team kind of reminds me of, you guys? The 05 Steelers.
Yeah, I can see that.
I see where you're coming from, man. It's a hard-nosed team.
It's a hard-nosed team. They're physical. They're downhill. You know, they have playmakers on defense, and they just grind things out offensively. And they're well-coached. Yeah, Kevin Stefanski is definitely winning Coach of the Year.
No pick from Johns yet. So he has until Saturday to give me his picks. Saturday 4:30 to give me his picks. If not, they are goose eggs, and that's pretty much it. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the clock. I understand he's sick, but he can text me his picks. All right, next game. Oh, let the script writers be damned. Miami. Tyreek Hill going back to Kansas City, not hiding in Germany, to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, this is going to be a cold game. Kansas City's a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under is 44. The game at kickoff is going to be 0 degrees with a negative nine wind chill.
I'm going to say the same thing that I did with Washington and Michigan.
Okay.
Right. Miami likes to do what?
Pass the ball.
No, they like to make it a track meet.
Oh, I mean,
they
want to
keep that speed.
Legion of Zoom for a reason.
Yeah, what do you do against teams that like to make things a track meet? You ugly the game up and you make it a dogfight. You want to be scrappy with them. And Miami's coming into this game with key guys missing on the defensive side. There's no Jalen Phillips. He tore his Achilles against the Jets on Black Friday. Bradley Chubb just tore his ACL, and you have no Xavier Howard. Those are three key pieces. And there's no Andrew Van Ginkle. So those are four key pieces that are missing for your defense. Kansas City, yeah, they won the division, but it wasn't in the fashion that we're accustomed to seeing, because the last couple years they've run away with this division, right?
Yeah.
You know, they literally have to fight tooth and nail to lock this thing up. And the thing that concerns me about Kansas City is there's an imbalance on both sides of the ball, Ronnie and Ryan. And what I mean by that is one side of the ball is stronger than the others. For years, it's been what? The offense being the stronger side of the ball and the defense struggling but making a stop when they had to. This year, the roles have reversed. The defense has been absolutely tremendous this year, and you see the difference that Chris Jones makes, right? Whereas the offense, they're struggling. And again, I'm going to ask you guys this too. Outside of Travis Kelce, what receiver on this Chiefs offense scares you as a secondary guy?
Oh, God.
Bingo, you took too long to answer. They ain't got one.
Rashid Rice.
Yeah, he's good, but is he consistent?
That's,
you know,
okay.
Like,
that,
think
yeah.
about it.
That's when, a better when, question.
When Tyreek was there, he was the one you had to circle in on.
I wasn't going to say Young Joker.
No, God. When they played in Germany back in November, the formula was simple for Kansas City. Just enough offense, win it with defense. And that's what I think they're going to do here on Saturday. I like Kansas City. I know Miami is probably kicking themselves right now that they didn't win this game, because they could be at home in the comforts of their own home in the warm weather. And now, because you lost that game, look at what you got to go to.
Yep. Brian?
What game are we talking about?
KC and the Dolphins.
Oh, man, look. As much as I'd love the Dolphins to bump KC, we both know it's not. We all three of us know we know that shit ain't. So I'm going to have to go with KC.
So, yes. And like I said at the beginning, the weather will be a factor. The fact that Miami did not win the division and they choked it away has everything to do with this matchup, because instead of playing in 60-degree weather at home, they're playing in zero with a wind chill of -9.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Pacheco, good old Scarlet Knight, will be taking his horse and riding through the fucking Miami defense.
Yeah, but you know what, Ronnie? I previewed this game today on the site, right?
Okay.
And you know who my X factor is for both teams? For Miami, it's Justin Houston.
Okay.
Remember, former Chief. He knows Arrowhead really well, and they're not asking him to be prime Justin Houston. They just want him to rush the passer, get after Mahomes, make a couple of tackles. And my X factor for the Chiefs is Mecole Hardman. Because think about it. Outside of Kelce, Mecole is the only Chiefs receiver that's played with Mahomes the longest. And with teams starting to kind of zero in on both Kelce, of course, and Rashee Rice, that's going to leave a lot of one-on-ones for Mecole Hardman. You know, I think he's going to be key in this one.
I think, but here's the thing. So you're thinking it's going to be more of a pass-heavy game?
No, I don't think it's going to be a pass-heavy game, but Mahomes is going to take his shots if the opportunity presents him.
Well, and that's the thing. I think so. Right now, I'll give a prop bet. Right now, Isaiah Pacheco over under rushing yards is 65.
Mm-hmm.
I think he rushes for 80 yards. Which then sets up the play-action pass for Carmen.
Yeah, and again, Kansas City, they got to be downhill. You got to make this game ugly. You got to punch Kansas City in the mouth. And
yeah.
Miami,
well,
you have to punch Miami.
They're going
to
load the box. They do not want, especially with it being this cold,
mm-hmm.
the one thing they do not want to do is take body blow after body blow. And the one thing they do not want to do is have Pacheco get downhill and get going. I mean, shit. Rutgers has now the top two running backs that were the Big Ten rushers, and the motherfucker from Rutgers is coming back. And, Kyle, Jesus Christ. Why am I spacing on his fucking name? That's going to fucking kill me. Anyway, and Pachenko was a Big Ten running back, the rush leader rusher back in the rushing. These guys rush downhill. Pachenko has proven that he can rush downhill. The one thing that Miami does not want is to get body blowed the living shit out of, where Mahomes can just, oh, I'm going to fake it. There's Kelsey. There's Hartman. And have them play up in the box, have the safeties play up in the box when they're all of a sudden just get beat overhead.
Yeah.
So think of this as a boxing match. Kansas City is going to be treating this like as Mayweather, where he's going to wear them down and then go for the big hit, where Miami is going to be Mike Tyson and want to go for the knockout quick.
Exactly.
That is the best way I can describe this game. Pachenko over 65 yards rushing is I'm taking that, and I think Kansas City body blows the shit out of him and knocks him out of the playoffs. Next game. All right, Christian, you are previewing this. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers as a 10-point dog against.
Yeah, I want to start with the Steelers. And Ryan?
I got you.
There's one thing I hear amongst your guys' fan base. You know what that is?
That is?
Fire Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
And, again, anytime I hear that and anytime I see it, I respond with one question. Really, two questions. One, who's out there that you can replace him with that's better than him? Right? Like, that's the major question right there. And then, two, do you realize how big of shoes those are to fill? Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season as the Steelers head coach. And look, this team lost a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback a couple years ago to retirement in Ben Roethlisberger. But they still stayed afloat because they have a good system intact, right?
Right.
And honestly, I think in this game for the Steelers, they need both Najee Harris and George Pickens to have the games of their life. Those are your two best playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. Anytime you see George in a one-on-one, get him the ball. Najee Harris, he's heating up. I mean, he just recorded another 1,000-yard rushing season. Buffalo, like I said, it's amazing that the Bills are here, because after the Philly game, I think everybody kind of threw the towel in on them. What saved this season? The game in Kansas City, and ever since then, they've just been rolling. Josh has to take better care of the ball, because this is the last defense you want to be opportunistic on. You want to give a chance to, because they're an extremely opportunistic unit. And, you know, if you're Pittsburgh, you're going to be without TJ Watt. I think Alex Highsmith, he's going to be key in this game. Again, you remember what I said at the top of the show. Buffalo is not here if they don't fire Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, and listen, I'll give you your flowers. You did call at the beginning of the year that Buffalo would win the division.
Yeah. And I mean, look, Buffalo's shown you that they can run the ball. Like, look at what they did against the Dallas Cowboys. They ran that thing for 286 yards, right?
Yeah, they freaking ran a truck. They ran a Mack truck over Dallas.
And that's the thing. They kept doing it, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it until the Cowboys couldn't stop it. Until the Cowboys could stop it, which they couldn't. You know, I look at another thing, that I look at with the Buffalo Bills. I think they're more equipped now to make a run in the playoffs than they ever have been in these last couple of years, because the last couple of seasons, the offensive scheme, you knew what was coming. Josh was going to play hero ball. He was going to run it. He was going to take it, or he was going to drop back and force feed the ball to who? Stephon Diggs. Now, everyone's getting a little bit of the love. Diggs is still being Stephon Diggs, right? Khalil Shakir, who I think is going to be key in this game, because he can make those catches over the top. He can go over the middle. He can work the flat, and he's good in space with the ball in his hands. Dawson Knox, they're getting him the ball. Dawson Kincaid, they're getting him the ball. But Joe Brady's making it an emphasis to feed James Cook the ball. And I think James Cook, if the Bills want to get to the Super Bowl, They have to let James cook. Pun intended.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
I preview this one tomorrow. Be on the lookout.
Brian, who you got?
Who do you think I got?
You're going to go with Pitt?
Yeah, dude. I think they got this.
Man, don't worry. You're not going to get last place, so you're good. I think so. Okay, let's elaborate. Ryan, do you have any reason for thinking that other than being a Pittsburgh fan?
I mean, honestly, nobody really expected them to make it this far.
Okay. Yeah,
you guys expected us to be eliminated from the playoffs already.
Actually, I am the one that has the 150 to 1 or the 50 to 1 odd for them to win the Super Bowl from the beginning of the year.
I'm just
the ticket. I'm waiting to see if they win this game so I can cash out.
I don't know, man. They've started firing on fucking all cylinders later in the season. Like, they've been hit this. I'm not going to say they've been on fire. They've been hit and miss, but, I mean, Steelers are on. You're in for a rough day.
Okay. So, I agree with you.
And as far as the fans that say that we need to fire Coach Tomlin, dude, he has never had a season under fucking 500. Go fuck yourselves, you marks.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I am in full agreement. I think Pittsburgh has a great chance of winning this. The thing is that how much do people trust Mason Rudolph? I think this is the worst matchup the Buffalo Bills could get. Even with TJ Watt being out, I think Buffalo, with how Allen takes care of the ball, is the worst thing that they do, because the one thing Pittsburgh does better than anybody else is slow the game down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to sit here and tell me, oh, you're going to have people tell me, oh, Buffalo's going to run the score up. First off, the over-under is 36. So that should tell you right there that Vegas thinks this game is going to be 14-3.
But my thing with Buffalo, the issue I have with the Bills is they can be the most frustrating team in the NFL at times. I remember this last year in a wild card game against Miami. They built up a lead, and then they let Miami climb back into the game.
I remember this. I remember that. But the other thing is, too, is that so with Pittsburgh, the one thing that they have that no one else does is they can they know how – they have a system set that they can camouflage their safeties to where Josh Allen ends up throwing picks. I mean, remember, they played once already. And Allen did not have a good game. I think that was the London game, right?
Who, Pittsburgh and Buffalo?
Buffalo, yeah.
No, they didn't play each other this past year.
Swear to God, I thought they did. What was the...
Nah, Jacksonville played that Buffalo in London.
That was right. Okay. But Pittsburgh has the same kind of system that Jacksonville does with their safeties, with how they disguise their defense.
Don't get me started on Jacksonville.
They fucked up, so we're not going to go into them. But the one thing I'll say is Vegas right now has this spread way too high. Pittsburgh will cover this spread, let alone if they win, it's a whole different issue. If you're going to bet this game, take the 10 and take the over, because this game will be closer than people think, and I think 36 is really too low. You're making this look like this is a fucking Jet game. I think Buffalo wins by 3. I think Buffalo wins like 21-24.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo keeps this – Pittsburgh keeps this game close, and it's a game down to the very end, but I'm taking the Bills. But I'm not – let's put it this way. Would not shock me if Pittsburgh won. Maybe have a bet on Pittsburgh money line anyway. Just saying. all right, next game. Again, don't know what John has, but we'll see where that goes. Green Bay
taking on Dallas. Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite. Over-under is 50.5. Christian, what do you got?
Look, I want to start with Dallas first, just knowing, because it's not just one guy. They're spreading the ball around. It's CeeDee Lamb. It's Jake Ferguson. Michael Gallup is making his catches. And Brandon Cooks, he knows his role. Yeah, I think he's going to be crucial for the Cowboys in this run. You know what you're going to get from their defense. It all depends on what version of their offense shows up and which Dak Prescott shows up. And if you get good Dak, you're in for a good day at the office, right? Green Bay. It's time to put a little more respect on Matt LaFleur's name, because he got to the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers. He's done it with Aaron, and he did it without Aaron this first year. And let me tell you guys something, the importance of a head coach. They set the tone for you as a football team. You see what I'm saying? And when this team was 3-6, never – did you hear Matt LaFleur say, you know what, we're looking ahead to next year? He kept his team afloat, and that's why they are where they are right now. The Packers are young, and they're only going to get better. I know this was supposed to be considered a rebuilding year for Green Bay. You just traded away Aaron Rodgers, right? Didn't know what you were going to get from Jordan Love, and here we are. Man, these teams have so much history against one another. Obviously, the Ice Bowl back in 1967, met a couple of times in the 90s, Brett Favre, Troy Aikman, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, a lot of Hall of Famers on both those teams. Emmitt, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Deion Sanders, Reggie White, Leroy Butler, Brett Favre. And, you know, they've met in the mid to late 2000s as well. I mean, I remember that game at Lambeau when Dez made that catch. That was a catch, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Yes, that was a catch. I mean, say what you want. Green Bay came away with a victory. Then 2 years later in Dallas, the thriller, right, between Green Bay and Dallas. And Aaron Rodgers made one of the best passes that I think I ever saw a quarterback make, because he was pushed to the pocket, pushed to the left of the pocket, and fired an absolute dart down the field to Jared Cook. They're in field goal range. Cowboys move on. Yeah, there's always a memorable game between these two. Green Bay has to start quickly. That much I'll say. They must start quickly and take those fans out of the game. Dallas is a completely different team at home than what they are on the road. I think they've won, what, 16 to 17 games in a row?
Yeah.
At home. So, you know, they have that in their back pocket. I preview this one on Friday. Be on the lookout.
Right.
Dallas.
So, if this game was in Green Bay, I think it would be scarier. But because this is on a dry track, you don't have to worry about the weather, I think this is Dallas's game. Even if Dak has a bad game, I think Micah Parsons will light this defense. Well, on defense, will light up the Green Bay Packers. I think Jordan Love is not ready for that kind of pressure in his face.
Yeah, and this is going to, next to the Steelers defense that he saw earlier in the year, I think this is going to be the best defense that he's seen maybe since that group in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the game, best bet for this game, Jordan Love, at least one interception.
And, you know, what saved the Packers season was the game on Thanksgiving against the Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's what jump-started
all of this.
Yeah, but that's my thing. I think any bet for this, Packers, Jordan Love interception, he's going to throw at least one, definitely hit the over, because Parsons is going to get all up in him, all up in his face, and Jordan Love's not going to be used to that. He hasn't seen it all year either, that kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no pressure like that in Minnesota. There was no pressure like that from Detroit. Because the line kept them, they didn't have backers that did that. But speaking of Detroit, the LA Rams go. Detroit is a 3-point favorite, and the over-under is 51. Christian, what do you got?
Matthew Stafford is back in Detroit, in case you didn't know. You know, he spent the first 12 years of his career with with Detroit and goes to the Rams. They trade him for Jared Goff. Yeah, Jared's been good for Detroit. Stafford won that Super Bowl. You know, I think the Rams, Ronnie, I remember when we recorded that first episode of Monday Evening Quarterback. And remember what you said about the Rams? That after eight games going into the trade deadline, they were going to try and trade Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
They're still here. I mean, look, this offense is scary because of one guy, Puka Nacua. I mean, you realize that there have been three record-setting wide receiver records in the last few years, right? Calvin Johnson with 1,964 yards receiving, which is the most in a single season, right? Cooper Kupp, Triple Crown recipient, right?
Yep.
Puka Nacua. He set a lot of rookie. He broke a lot of rookie receiving records this year, right?
Yeah.
There's one common denominator in all that. Guess who the starting quarterback was for all of that?
Yeah, Stafford.
Bingo. As far as the Lions, their inexperience really showed in the second half of the season. First half, they were cruising along, got that big win in Detroit, going to Tampa Bay, punched them in the mouth, and then they get punched in the mouth courtesy of the Baltimore Ravens, which they should not hang their heads down on, because Baltimore did that to a lot of teams this year, right? I think the key is going to be for the Rams to bottle up the run and put this game in the hands of Jared Goff. Because that's the one thing I like about the Lions. They are not afraid to run this football. I preview this one on Sunday before the game. Be on the lookout. This is the one I'm really looking forward to.
This is going to be the fun one. This is Saturday, 8 o'clock?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, that's right. Yeah, that's worth it, Sunday night. Ryan!
I am taking Detroit.
No shit. Not a shock.
Well, you fucking asked.
Yeah, well, I kind of should have seen that one coming, too. A blind man at least walking through a fish market understands that, too.
Right?
Well, yeah, I need a Colt 45 with that one, too. All right.
You did that.
All right. Christian, you're absolutely right. This game is going to be not – this is going to be – the return of Stafford versus the curse of Detroit with the playoffs. Detroit has not won a playoff game in, 25 years?
That's not accurate.
Does it change? Do we see it? I mean, granted, it's going to be – this game is going to be a battle of defenses. So if you're going to do something, take the under, because both defenses are going to play lights out. Because the over-under right now is 51. I don't think this game is going to be 51. I think this game is going to be, like, 17-14. This game is going to be a tight game. I said it before. What did I say about the first game that's the difference between this game and the other? Experience. Golf has... This is Goff's first time in the playoffs? Second. He went with the Rams when they lost to Minnesota.
Lost in New England.
But this is his second time in the playoffs.
What, with the Lions?
No. Goff, this is just Goff's second time in the playoffs.
Oh, when they lost to Green Bay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, it was Green Bay. Right. The Rams have made it to the Super Bowl. They've won the Super Bowl. Stafford, though, has had the experience in the playoffs. The L.A. defense has had experience in the experience in the playoffs. The Detroit Lions are still young. Fortunately, with that being said, I think experience matters in this. I see the Rams coming out on top with this one. But again, nail biter. We'll go with that. Final game. The Philly Eagles are 3-point favorites on the road to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Over-under's 44. Christian, what you got?
How can I say this without sounding rude and unprofessional?
Hold on. Do I have a laugh track?
Canadians are weird.
Can I? May I?
Dummy. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Eagles are soft.
Ah, damn it. That's the one drop I should have had. I should have had the fucking Enzo drop.
They're soft. Because, Ronnie, remember? And Ryan, you may remember this too. Remember during the regular season, anytime we brought up the Eagles, I would sigh. And you guys would hear me facepalm myself.
Yeah.
Sigh, Eagles, sigh.
Yeah, because look, even when they were 10-1, I wasn't sold on them because they were doing just enough to skate by and win football games. The best thing the Eagles did all year was establish DeAndre Swift. Then they just got away from it. And if I'm being honest with you, the game against the 49ers for the Eagles, that exposed them.
The game against the Jets is what exposed them.
I'm talking most recently. It was the game against, because when you punch the Eagles in the mouth, they can't recover.
Yeah.
Like, San Francisco went in there and just said, look, we're more man than you. We're going to come into your house and punch you in the mouth. And that's exactly what they did. And then after that, it's just, it's been downhill from there. Dallas beat up on them. Seattle got by on them. They didn't look all that great against the Giants on Christmas Day. You lose to the Arizona Cardinals of all teams. And then the Giants embarrass you in the season finale. So bad that they helped the Cowboys win the division.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts has regressed, but a lot of that isn't his fault because there's a full year of film on him. You didn't know what to expect from him last year. It's going to be tough for the Eagles because A.J. Brown is out in this game. Tampa Bay, I think they're the biggest surprise here. Life after Brady, year one. You win the NFC South again for the third straight year. Baker Mayfield comes in, and he just oozes confidence. Well, what's so funny?
Someone just wrote in chat, the Lions, I think, will take the Rams. The Eagles are self-destructing harder than the Jags, who had a 99% chance of winning division at week 12.
And that person isn't wrong.
No, he's not. That's why I'm laughing.
The Eagles went 1-5 down the stretch. And if I'm being honest, they should have lost to the Bills.
Yeah.
I think the key for this game, you know, Tampa needs to come out quickly, run the ball, which I think is going to be key for them because Philly struggles to stop the run. And everybody says it's not that big of a deal, but the Eagles missing both offensive and defensive coordinators from last year, I think that's impacting them more than people realize. I preview this one Saturday.
Oh, hi, Dustin. Your Red Sox suck.
That's a pretty unanimous decision on the show tonight.
I think we need him back on the show.
No, we don't. I hurt that boy's feelings. Don't do it. No offense, Ryan.
No, not now. We only have 10 minutes left. We only have 10 minutes left in the show.
I mean, you can try, man. He grew up getting insulted by me.
Yeah, so do the Mets. We'll see. I'm not John. I'll defend my team. I will defend the Mets. I'm not the one that scurries. I'm sorry. I'll fight him on this one. I won't scurry in a hole because we didn't get one pitcher.
No, you'll scurry in the hole whenever your season implodes.
And I will, yeah, but we're not going to be worse than the Raider A's.
Four innings into the first game.
But I'm not going to scurry into a hole when, you know, the Raider A's are going to show up.
Hey.
Listen to me, motherfucker. Megan Thee!
Oh no, he sunk again!
It says something about Megan Thee. It's gonna be the greatest baseball team on the earth.
Okay, we don't need a Umbex. Raider Dave, pick for Ryan. Phillies or Tampa?
I'm not picking either of those fucking teams. Hold on, I know somebody that will.
What? Yes?
He's taking the Eagles!
Oh, God. Yeah, listen, I know Raider Dave brought you a Philly cheesesteak the last time you were there, because God forbid.
This was my master plan.
How is this your master plan?
Because the Eagles are going to win the fucking Super Bowl.
The World Series? Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see the Eagles win the World Series.
You know what? You know who you're talking to. I can make this happen. They're going to win the Super Bowl, the World Series, and Stanley's Cup.
What, the thing that's not as good as a Yeti?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that thing, yeah. Because let's face it, Stanley's Cup, literally, the Yeti is a better fucking piece of, is a better cup than this bullshit.
He couldn't bring himself to say it. And Raider Dave's not going to say it because he's a little bitch. So I had to come in and say it.
Well, you know what then, darling? I'll make sure Raider Dave's going to be your bitch.
Normally.
But listen. No, in all honesty, we only got about 12 minutes left. It takes me faster to make these picks than anything. Don't worry. Baker Mayfield. Unfortunately, he didn't send me any picks the other night. I got something from Jalen Hurts, but I'm not impressed. It's more like a broken finger than anything. So give me the Eagles.
Mr. Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you picking?
Find out on Saturday.
I'll do that.
I'm sure you will.
All right, see, we got to get out of here. So next time we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, next week. Fuck off.
Go get Raider Dave more IKEA furniture so we can destroy it. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. If you like what you heard, please follow us on those social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Dustin, you better be on next week if you're free. I'll send you a phone call. Like I said, with that being said, if you like these files on social media accounts, follow us individually on Twitter, at F and Ronnie.
At DailyBlitz_61.
At StuntcockSTL.
And follow Raider Dave at
RaiderDavid_NBA.
Follow John at the Zombie Master. And with that, just send me the fucking Skype then, you dumbass. And follow Dustin on Twitter at ButtChugNPN.
Man, don't nobody give a shit.
Well, good, because the NPN, because the butt chug NPN might be soon to be real, because God forbid, the Red Sox are chugging it up the ass.
For sure.
Hey, listen. We all know the Red Sox are Boston virgins.
Boston Red Sox, go suck a dick with your butt.
No, not Ryan. The Boston Red Sox are Boston virgins. You know what that means? They always like to take it up the ass.
Straight up the ass, that way they can remain good church girls.
God, that fan base makes me sick.
It's a reach around St. Louis.
At least you get a fucking reach around.
Oh, shit. God damn it. Listen, no one's ever telling a guy that they want their green monster.
Yeah, dude, if your monster's green, you're definitely sick and probably going to need a penicillin shot.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you don't like what you hear,
go fuck yourself.
And go see a doctor.
Go suck a dick with your butt.
And if not, always remember 3D. different things. One, Bobby Bonilla will still be getting paid. Two, Shohei Ohtani will still getting paid. And three, there is always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, then that's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
Good night.